From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Melissa Hale Spencer is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise. The Gilderland Town Board August 4th approved a resolution to allow the Champlain Hudson River Power Express Incorporated to run underground lines through the town to deliver power from Canada to the greater New York City area. The measure carried on a vote of 4-1, with board member Laurel Boll the only dissenter. Boll said, and I quote, "The people that oppose this are not just Canadians," end quote. She named the Sierra Club, Hudson Riverkeeper, New York Electric Companies, New York Clean Energy Companies, and 22 labor unions as opposing the project. Boll said, and I quote, "Hydroelectricity from large dams is not really renewable energy," end quote. Citing a Harvard study that found, and I quote, "drastic negative effects on fish, forest, and cultural identity of indigenous communities," end quote. Town Supervisor Peter Barber named the federal and state agencies that have approved the project and said, and I quote, "Governor Cuomo made it clear back on May 24th that these sorts of infrastructure projects are not only good for the economy, they're good for the environment, but also are necessary to restart the economy," end quote. The $3 billion project proposed by Transmission Developers Incorporated has been in the works since 2008, and construction is expected to begin in 2021. A 1,000-megawatt high-voltage direct current HVDC line will be buried underground in Gilderland, largely along railroad rights of way, according to Transmission Developers Incorporated. TDI says the cable is to be buried approximately 5 feet underground within conduits and is expected to have an operating and taxable life of at least 40 years. The project route in New York begins in the town of Putnam in Washington County, continuing south through the city of Saratoga Springs into the greater Albany area and further south through Ravenna, Coxsackie, Athens, and the town of Catskill, where it will enter the Hudson River. Read the full story in the Altamont Enterprise. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Hunter-Tannersville School District has approved an agreement with the Greene County Sheriff's Office to put a police officer in the school. The Greene County Legislature authorized the county's first four school resource officers in 2018, assigning two to Cairo-Durham, one to Greenville, and one to Windham-Ashland-Jewett. The agreement with Hunter-Tannersville is effective September 1st and will run through the end of the school year. The district will pay just under $62,000 to the county for the service. Sheriff Peter Kaminsky on August 12th said, and I quote, "We are happy to announce our SRO program is expanding this year as we are adding one SRO for the Hunter-Tannersville School District, bringing our total to five. This will mean that all school districts in Greene County will now have either an SRO or armed security on school grounds," end quote. Hunter-Tannersville District Superintendent Nate Jones said the decision was prompted in part by an increase in school violence on a national level. Jones said, and I quote, "Obviously, the safety concerns nationally were a big precursor to saying we needed to start tidying things up at our buildings," end quote. In touting the program, Kaminsky said it establishes a working relationship between police and school districts. He said, and I quote, "The school resource officer is a valuable link between the school community and law enforcement," end quote. The Hunter-Tannersville contract will be voted on by the full legislature August 19th. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Reisman is reporting for State of Politics. Sales tax revenue for governments continue to fall. Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli said August 12th, the state brought in $116 million, or 8.2% less last month than during a similar period last year. The revenue decline is the latest monthly drop in sales taxes, but it was not as steep as previous months as businesses continue to reopen for the second month in a row. Speaking of the downturn, DiNapoli said, and I quote, "It is going to have a long-lasting effect on revenues for counties, cities, and many towns and villages around the state. Federal government needs to step up and provide financial help to those hit hard by this virus. Without action, communities may need to make severe cuts to critical services," end quote. And you can read the full story at nystateofpolitics.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.